News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, listen, we're going to go to the phones right now. I've got a friend calling in. He's a friend of the show. He's also a friend to me personally. A former state senator, Brian Taylor, is somebody who I served with for a number of years down in Montgomery. Before that, he was a chief advisor to Governor Bob Riley. After he left the Senate, he became chief legal counsel to Governor Ivey. He's now back in private practice as an attorney, but he's also, by the way, he is Major Brian Taylor and serves as a JAG officer with tours of duty in Iraq. And hey, Brian, thanks for calling into Right Side Radio. Glad you're here.
Hey, great to be back on with you, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, listen, man, you know, because I sort of prepped the battlefield with you a little bit, that I'm spending some time today talking about vaccine mandates and how they're affecting the military and military readiness. And in particular, one of the things that kind of concerns me is an article that I sent you a link to that says that there is some reason to believe that within a recent MILPER message in the Navy, at the very least, and I know you're an Army JAG, but there's part of the directive says that there's a chance they could actually demand repayment of service or training for service members who refuse to get vaccinated. And I'd like you to unpack that for us as a JAG. I recognize there's a right to claim a religious exemption, but still, can they make you repay your training?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a complicated question. So it really just depends on what type of legal action you're talking about, Phil. So, you know, there is precedent out there. What's interesting about this message from the Navy is it makes the message itself a direct order, which means that a violation of it could have criminal consequences. And as you know, there's really two tracks that can happen to a service member when they get in trouble, when they have a disciplinary problem. They can either be prosecuted at a court martial for a criminal violation, or they can be administratively separated. And so whether or not there could be an impact on the benefits they've received, a requirement to pay back their training, that sort of thing, may depend ultimately on what type of action is brought against them. But the interesting thing about the message is that it seems to be based largely on messages that went out during the anthrax program, the mandatory anthrax vaccination program over 20 years ago, which was very controversial. And ultimately, the military gave up on it and canceled the program because of the legal challenges to it. So it'll be interesting to see if the same result happens here with challenges for military service members and contractors.
Well, and we all know, Brian, I mean, you and I both have experienced deployments. You get all kinds of needles stuck in your arm. You don't even know what all the shots are they're giving you. I remember when I was going through one of my deployments, they were preparing to re-inoculate me for smallpox, but then the doctor saw the scar on my arm, and he goes, okay, I don't think you're going to need this. But, you know, if he hadn't seen the scar, I'd have gotten a second injection of smallpox. But all said and done, I question how, and you're right, the anthrax thing was a debacle. It was one of those things where I didn't want it. I wound up getting the anthrax part one, never had to get part two, because like you said, they finally abandoned the plan. And I'm wondering if they do that again here, but in this particular case, there's also a private right of action for the service member to defend their own rights in this case, too, is what we're seeing in other places. Tell us about that.
Sure. In fact, what happened in the anthrax situation, the precedent in the military courts of appeals was service members who were punished or charged with failing to violate a lawful order often found themselves on the losing side of the case. But interestingly, a group of service members and contractors exercised their private right of action and brought a case in federal court in the district court for the District of Columbia. And they sued Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary Rumsfeld at the time, for mandating the vaccine. And the court agreed with them. The court issued a preliminary injunction and later enjoined a permanent injunction and joining the program. Interesting, on the basis that at the time, the anthrax vaccine was approved for investigational. It had investigational status with the FDA, and so the defense in this case by the government is obviously going to be, well, the COVID vaccine is no longer under investigational status. It's been approved by the FDA, Well, the answer to that is this 2004 case from the anthrax files, if you will, found that the FDA had violated or had failed to follow its own rules, and so it was a lawsuit under the Administrative Procedure Act challenging the process by which the FDA had approved anthrax. And so I think in this case you're likely to see some very similar actions being brought to challenge the efficacy of the program.
Well, I think you will. And then, you know, one of the things that really strikes me is what this could be doing to readiness. I mean, I know we saw some people get out of the military because they didn't want the anthrax vaccine. And then, in the military, by the way, is a place where you and I both know you give up some of your typical freedoms and liberties, in a sense, because you've agreed to military service, and there are shots you're going to wind up taking for a deployment that you wouldn't have normally gotten or whatever. But this one seems to go a step further. There's even a claim for religious exemption here that's based upon the fact that that this shot, being different than many others, is derived, or at least believed to be derived, in part from aborted stem cells. And that creates a religious controversy for many members.
Certainly the religious exemption is well recognized in the law. That was also an issue during the anthrax vaccinations. And I think you're going to see some litigation play out on that. You're going to see some litigation under the Administrative Procedures Act about how the FDA approved this drug. The truth is, and you just said this, that the rules are a little bit different in the military. It's not like private employment. And there is a long history of mandated vaccines going all the way back to George Washington requiring the troops in the Continental Army to get the smallpox vaccine. But there are still rules that have to be followed. For example, there is a statute on the books that Congress said passed a law saying that the Secretary of Defense cannot mandate an investigational drug or an experimental drug. And so that's where these lawsuits will come in and trying to unravel or unwrap the FDA process by which the COVID vaccine has been approved.
Well, you know, and one of the things that concerns me, Brian, is when you see something rushed in, and you have this group of sort of captive folks, in a sense, the military, and they become either the test bed for it or they become the object of its use when there's not been a long hit. And a classic example for me is my father. You may remember you and I were in the Senate together. My father passed away in 2013, did two tours in Vietnam, highly decorated, and he died finally from Agent Orange exposure. And Agent Orange was a great idea back when they had it. When it first came out, but there was no testing of the health effects of it. They just sprayed it on the jungles. And I'll never forget my dad saying, and he had the greatest attitude about it. He was on his deathbed and he said, "It's hard to complain. It saved a lot of lives." He said, "And I'm the one that called it in, and I'm the one that drank from the streams where it was flowing." It caught up with him. And that was an indication, in my opinion, that there are times when things are thrown on the military that don't always have the most well-thought-out and well-reasoned long-term implications considered yet. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing here is people are concerned about that aspect of it. It may not be a religious exemption. They're just concerned about what happens 5 years from now since you don't have the kind of studies that you would normally have.
Yeah, and that reminds me of what the district court, the federal district court, said in the 2003 anthrax case. And I'll just read to you from the very instance: "The women and men of our armed forces put their lives on the line every day to preserve and safeguard the freedoms that all Americans cherish and enjoy. Absent informed consent or presidential waiver, the United States cannot demand that members of the armed forces also serve as guinea pigs for experimental drugs."
Wow.
So again, we're in a little bit different posture now that FDA has hurried along its approval. But if there's litigation that comes forward exposing any sort of shortcutting in the FDA process that violates procedural rules, we may have another situation just like the anthrax debacle.
Well, Brian, in the couple of minutes we got left here, let me just ask you this. So one of the things that really concerns me about that story that I sent you was the very idea that someone who signed up to be a SEAL, and granted that's Navy and your Army, but within the context of where you serve right now here in Alabama, we have the 20th Special Forces Group, which is a part of the Special Operations community. And those guys go through a highly selective training. They're typically the fittest among us. They have spent the most amount of time in training and the most amount of dollars spent on them for that training. Can you go into someone's term of enlistment when they've already signed their contract and then change the status of what they're expected to do and then threaten them with repayment of those training dollars if they fail to comply.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it without expecting a serious legal fight. I don't know and haven't had a chance to research all of the cases where a breach of contract claim has been brought against the government for imposing a subsequent standard that was not contemplated at the time of the contract. But two things to that. First of all, I think it's definitely going to lead to litigation. I think you will see breach of contract claims if the Department of Defense or if the Navy tries to recoup any training dollars from an individual. But even more importantly than that, and I think this is what you're speaking to, Phil, there's actually a Duke Law Journal article, again, going back to the anthrax cases, that talks about the importance of trust in the military. And as you said, so many service members left the military during that period because they lost trust in the chain of command and in the Pentagon to care for their best interests. And so when you roll out something like this, it's more than just a question of can we do this? It's a question of should we do this and how should we do this? And certainly threatening to take someone's to recoup training dollars from somebody who's committed their life, their career to the service of their country is going to raise some major issues.
Well, I believe it is too, brother. And hey, man, as always, I appreciate you. And by the way, I appreciate your service to our nation and our state. So thank you for being on today, man. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Phil.
All right. Hey, folks, that was Brian Taylor. We're going to head to a short break right now, but Brian's got an amazing resume. I mean, you talk about a guy who's been there and done that in state politics and in the military, served as a JAG officer in Iraq, still currently serves as a major in our Army National Guard. And he also, by the way, was the chief advisor to Governor Riley, the chief legal counsel to Governor Ivey, and with me as a state senator. Yep, that guy's been around the block a few times. And I appreciate his time unpacking some of that for us from a JAG perspective. We come back, we're going to wrap up this segment here about what's going to happen with our military in the world of vaccine mandates. But I agree with Brian. I think, by God, they've got some litigation coming their way, and they deserve it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.